Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
Some of you would know that King David, who is a character in the Bible, those of us who have read the Bible, it doesn't take long before you come across this beautiful man of God, King David. And we call him King David, but the reality is his name's David. It's just David, but he was a king. But before he was a king, he was just David. Just David the shepherd boy. And he was one of eight sons, and he grew up in a pretty normal family. Some would say slightly dysfunctional, because his dad completely forgot that he had him when it came time for a king to be anointed. Didn't even bring him into the room. I'm sure that would have caused some scars for young David. But you know that his name is written in the Bible second to Jesus. That's how many times his name is written in the Bible. Jesus is number one. That's great. King David, number two. More than Moses, more than Abraham. King David. What is it about David that God loves so much that he wanted him sprinkled throughout his whole Bible? What is it about King David that God loved this man? I can tell you what it is. He knew how to seek God. He had a heart that just wanted to seek God. Now listen, he didn't seek God to become a king. He became a king because he was seeking God. He was just a shepherd boy who just used to walk out there in the, you know, pastures, and he used to walk around and he had his lute or his lyre or whatever string thing he had. He didn't walk around with a harp, guys, okay? He didn't have a big harp. Some of you think he had a big harp. You probably would have had a tiny little thing. And he was just walking around. You know what? While everybody was trying to get to the platform, while everybody was trying to be somebody, King David didn't give a rip about that. Can I say that at Sunday nights? All right, he didn't give a rip. He did not care about accolades. He didn't care what people thought. All he had was his little harp, and he was just walking along the pastures and the rock, and he was just with his little sheepies, and he was walking along, and he was like, well, you know, I'm a shepherd over these. I love these sheep so much. You know what? That reminds me that it's like the Lord is my shepherd. Actually, that'd be a good song. I should write that down. The Lord is my shepherd. And just like I provide for these little sheepies, he provides, I shall not want. And you know, just like I try and make sure that they get a little bit of rest, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. Wow, he leads me beside the still. You know what? I'm going to sing a song about that. And you know, no one else heard those songs in those mountains, in those crevices, in those caves. No one, even the sheep went, David, shut up. But do you know who heard his voice? Do you know who went, whoa, who's that? And while everyone was trying to chase platforms and kingship and everything else, God said, you know what? I don't want that son. I don't want Eliab, and I don't want all those other sons. We don't even know their names. I want that little shepherd boy who knows how to seek me. And I want to encourage you. Listen, if you can take your eyes off everything that you think is important to you, Jesus tried to set us straight by saying it very, very simply. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek him, not what he can do for you, not the accolades that he can put on your shoulders, not the trophies. Just seek him, his character, his love, just who he is. And God says, guess what? I'll sort out the rest of your life. I'll make sure you marry the right person. I'll make sure you get the right job. I'll make sure that you get the right business opportunity. Just seek me. We can trust God that we can take our eyes off ourselves. We don't need to be self-centered and try and push our own barrow along. God says, just seek me. And that's what God loved about him. He knew how to seek God. And then this is what he writes. And we read it this morning and we're going to read it again. Psalm 27 verse 8, he says this. He says, God, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. And we talked about that this morning. A lot of people are seeking God's hands, God's actions. God, I need stuff. King David says, God, I'm just going to seek your face. Now, listen, have you ever thought about this? It sounds beautiful and it sounds poetic to seek God's. What does that mean? Have you ever asked someone to help you? And if someone ever offered to help you, if they said to you, look, I'm happy to help you, but all I'm going to give you is my face. You wouldn't go, great, can you now hammer that nail into the fence with your... Have you ever thought about what a face actually does? Like when you're saying, I'm seeking God's face, what are you really seeking? Let me tell you, I'll tell you what a face does. It communicates. Do you know what else a face is for? It's for intimacy. Do you know what else a face is for? Beauty. What you're saying is, God, I'm just seeking communication with you. God, I'm just seeking intimacy with you. God, I'm just seeking your beauty. I just want to see how beautiful you are. Isn't that a shift from what we're experiencing a lot of these days? It's all about give me, give me, give me. God, what can I get from you? God, how can I get more stuff out of you? Rather than God, you're enough. Who you are, you created this whole world. If all I got was just you in my heart, that's actually quite plenty for all eternity. Come on, give him a huge round of applause. Seek his face. So this is my challenge to us, and then I'm going to unpack it for you. If God loved King David's seeking spirit, don't you think God still loves a person who knows how to seek him? And I think it's a little bit of a lost art. I think we've forgotten how to seek God. Because we're so used to everything being put onto our plate that we don't have to seek him anymore. And the only problem is that when you lose the art of seeking, you actually lose something far greater than that. This is what Psalm 14, verse 12 says. This is what you lose, guys. Poor guys, they're trying their hardest down there. We've got some things going on. This is what the Bible says. It says, the Lord looks down from heaven on the entire human race. Does that include you, by the way? Anyone? Yeah? He says he looks to see if anyone is truly wise, if anyone seeks God. God is not actually so interested in your gifts, to be honest. He is interested in that. But what he's actually really interested in is your seekermometer. You like that word? I've made it up myself. I've coined it. Don't try and copyright it. God wants to know how much do you seek me these days? You know, you can be the most gifted person in the world and preach to thousands of people, but if you don't seek him, God says, hmm. But if you're not that gifted and you don't think you're very talented and you're racked with insecurities and you've got a past that you're so ashamed of, but you've got a seeking ability, God says, ooh, I like that. Because the Bible says God isn't looking for talent. He's actually looking for a seeking heart. Come on, let's get a seeking heart in this place. Let's keep a seeking heart. And guys, it's difficult to do. That's why he says, I'm going to reward people who do this, because it's so easy to not do it. Because once you've just tasted a little bit, it's easy to say, that's enough for me. But God's looking down right now and he wants to see a church full of seekers. And I'm praying that we leave this place to say, God, you found the church. You have found the church, that we're not just rocking up. We're actually a bunch of people that are saying, God, you can count on us to seek your face. We are going to seek you. We are hungry for you. We want more of you. Come on, give the Lord a huge shout in this place. Come on. Do you know why I even have to preach a message like this? Because people struggle to seek God. And I know why. Because seeking God is a very humbling experience. That's why in Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, it makes it pretty clear. It actually gives us a plan. It says, if my people, isn't it so sad that God says if? He doesn't even say when. God is saying it may happen or it may not. Isn't that sad? God says, if my people who are called by my name, any Christians in this place? So it's talking about you. It says, if they will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, he says, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Listen, how does that whole process start? If they will humble themselves. Pastor Richard, what's there to be humble about? Easy. Are you trying to fix your problems or are you humbling yourself to say, God, I need you to fix my problems? Are you doing life on your own or are you saying, God, I could do it on my own, probably not very successfully, but I'm going to humble myself and say, God, I need you in this situation. I don't want to take a step without you. I want you to be involved in everything I do, everything I say, the way in which I speak to my kids, the way in which I speak to my employees. I want you involved. And God, I want to seek your face. I want you involved. But you're going to have to humble yourself. And then you can pray. And what are you praying about? Seeking his face. Some of you have probably never even seen those scriptures in there, but they're there, friends. It's God's greatest desire that we would seek his face. Because let's not be like people that are written about in Psalm 10. Psalm 10 verse 4 says this. It says that the wicked, come on, read this out one. Read this out together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. The wicked are too proud to seek God. They seem to think that God is dead. That's not us, is it? Is it? No, that's not us. No, because it says the proud, the wicked, they're too proud to seek God. That's not us. No, no, we're going to humble ourselves. We're going to say, God, we really, really need you. Now let's go into the New Testament, Hebrews 11, verse 6. It says, and it is impossible to please God without faith. Oh, that's great. I love that part. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists. That's great. And he rewards those who sincerely seek him. See, for a lot of us, it's like, I've got faith, God. And God says, that's awesome because you can't please me without it. Now, with that faith, can you go and seek me? Seek me. Seek me out. In other words, do not settle for where you're at. Continually look for him. Look for him in different situations. Try and find him and look for him so that he can always be involved. And he says, if you do that, I will reward you. Now, we are actually in a series, and the series is about weapons of warfare. I'm telling you straight, the greatest weapon that you could ever have against the enemy is a deep and intimate relationship with your God. It's the way it keeps the enemy away. Listen, just recently, let me be very honest with you. Just recently, I've dealt with a few pastors now. Pastors, guys, leaders of churches. And some of these churches are highly successful. You know, someone like me would look at them and go, wow, what an amazing church. And from the outside, I could be enamored by the glitz and the glamour and the way that in which they speak. But today, one of those pastors is not even with his wife anymore, and the marriage has fallen apart and his life is a disaster. Where did it begin? He stopped seeking God. That's where it all began. His preaching gift got better and better, but his seeking God got worse and worse and worse. And I don't want it to happen to him, but I don't want it to happen to you. I don't want it to happen to me. Let's continually seek God and stay on the edge of our relationship with him. Friends, it's, you know, you can get to a stage, I've been a Christian a long time now, and I can do the Christian thing with and without God sometimes. You know, God helped me give up smoking like at least 3 weeks ago. It's amazing. A long, long time ago. And you know, I don't wake up anymore and go, oh, just, man, I'd love a ciggy. Man, I'd love one of those. It's just, it's gone. God, listen, God helped me get rid of it, but today I actually don't need God to help me get rid of it. Are you hearing me? So today I can do that part of my life without God. I needed God to make sure that I wasn't an angry man with my wife 26 years ago. But today, just because of habit and nature, I can now not be an angry person just out of who I am now. And very shortly, I don't actually need God at all. Until the enemy goes, great, he's relying on habit, not the Holy Spirit, right? So he's just relying on habit now. He thinks he's a Christian. He thinks he's walking with God, but really it's just the habits that God has created in him. But he's not relying on God anymore, doesn't seek God anymore, doesn't read his word anymore, doesn't ask God to be involved anymore. And the enemy just goes, now guys, now. And the enemy comes and it's like, I don't know how to fight the enemy because I'm not even walking with God anymore. Is this okay? Sorry, I know you came for the like happy clappy stuff, but I think this is happy and clappy. I think we need to give him a huge, this is real. This is real. And it grieves me to see someone lose everything that they had. And now I'm getting text messages. I can't believe I've done what I've done. You warned me. The one guy says, you warned me that I would regret my decisions. And I am now regretting my decisions. And I'm grieving for him, thinking, what part of seek God didn't you understand, bro? What part of continually lean on him and rely, which part, what made you think that having a large church full of people made you right with God? Jehovah's Witnesses baptize thousands of people every year down at Etihad Stadium. It doesn't make it a kingdom religion. Are you hearing? Numbers don't mean anything. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God's individual. He's concerned about the individual. Don't ever be distracted by numbers. Oh, that must be right. Look how many people are there. No, no. It's all about the heart. Is this okay? Come on, I want you to do a self-check. Are you a God seeker or are you just a church attender? Wow. No, be honest. Are you a God seeker or are you just coming? Because you can, honestly, you can come to church your whole life and not be a God seeker. I'm going to flip that, to be quite honest. I think you can still seek God and not be able to get to church much. Now, I don't think that's a smart way to live because you miss out on messages like this. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But King David didn't go to church. The valley was his church. But eventually he built a church. All right, so don't try and get around it. Come on, intimacy. That's what we're going for. We're going for it all year. So if you're like, oh, I don't want to be intimate with God, skip 2019 at Lifehouse. Now, seriously, go find a big, happy, clappy entertainment church and come back 2020 by then. Who knows? We're probably going to be into the whole prophetic. I don't know what we're going to be into by then. But this year, we're going intimate. This year, I actually want to walk past you in the foyer and I want to be able to say to you, how's your walk with God going? And you don't look at me like this. Like as if no one's ever asked you that before. It should be, you know what? No, it's going well. You know, I'm learning to seek him. The other day he spoke to me. I want to hear some of those words. I tell you what I don't want to hear all the time. I was listening to a podcast. Hey, God can speak to you directly, remember? I want to hear a little bit of God spoke to you. You know, Pastor Richard, I was in my car, I was feeling a bit angry and the Holy Spirit spoke and said, don't be angry because sin's crouching at your door. I want to hear a little bit of that at Lifehouse. Come on, let's get our roar. Let's give him a roar. That's who we are as a church. Let's get intimate. Now listen, we're putting on a conference so that you can get intimate. But listen, you can come to the conference and still miss the whole thing because it's a heart condition. Some of us know about God sending Elijah into a cave and he said, Elijah, I want to speak to you. And so we pick up the story in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 to 12. And the Bible says, go out and stand before me on the mountain. And the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by and a mighty windstorm conference hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was a podcast earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. Do you need God to always have a microphone? Hi, Sophie, how are you going this morning? Or can God just go? Did you hear that? What did I say to you?
You're an amazing person.
But I had to get really close. You guys had to be really quiet. So she had to get herself into a quiet space. She had to get very close and then she could hear God's voice. And for some of us, we're missing God speaking because what if God wants to speak to me, he can do it loud. Well, you're going to miss out for the rest of your life. Oh, he can speak to me through my pastor. No, no. Sometimes he wants to speak to you directly. No, sometimes you definitely speak through the word, but he wants to speak to you. But you're going to have to get real close. And then all of a sudden you're going to go, God, is that you again? Yeah, it's me. It's me. But you spoke to me yesterday. Yeah, and I'll speak to you again the day after if you're up for it. But as soon as we get all distracted and the football starts and God can't even get into you because you've got your buds in your ear and whoa. Do you know when I go for a run? I don't go with the iPod buds. I know everyone else does and it helps you stay in rhythm. And you know what? I'm thinking I've got half an hour that I can go for a run. Maybe God can speak to me rather than some guy preaching in my ear or music playing. When does he ever get a chance to speak to you is the question. You hop into your shower, you blare the music. You go into bed, your partner doesn't stop talking. You wake up in the morning, your kids are screaming. Then you go to work and then I don't stop talking. And when does he ever get a chance to just go, hey, you're amazing. Don't go out with him, he's a loser. Some of you are like, why didn't God tell me he was a loser? He did, he just whispered it. Yeah, he did, but he told you. He was no good, man. Right from the start, he was no good. I don't know who I'm talking about. He's not in our church, some other church somewhere. Do you want to hear a great quote? Listen to this quote. Your public ministry to people will always flow out of your private ministry to God. Did you get that? Do you know who quoted that? Me. Yeah, that's my quote. Because I live by that. I live by that. You know, one of the greatest compliments that I think I could ever receive is that people say to me, Pastor Rich, you're the same person up here as you are down there. And I would hope I am. But you know, that doesn't just mean in the way I speak. I would hope that also means the content. And I'm not going to talk to you guys about something that I'm completely foreign. I've got no idea what I'm talking about. Because there's a whole lot of topics that I do feel that way. So I don't preach about them. So you won't ever know what they are. Because I'm never going to preach about them. But this is something, you know, I even bought, and some of you are going to go, are you serious? Are you really going to try and sell us that? I'm going to try. I even bought a really beautiful, expensive car so that I could go for a drive, get to a certain place, get out of my car, and just try and hear his voice. What am I saying to you? I'm trying to seek him. And I'm going to make it as enticing as I can for myself to seek him. What's it going to take for you to seek him? Is it going to take cancer? Is it going to take a marriage breakup? Is that what it's going to take? I pray that that's not what it takes. I pray that you can make a decision right now and say, God, you don't need to bring any evil upon me. I'm happy to seek you right here, right now. Things are good. I promise I'll just keep seeking you. That's the way I want to stay. Proverbs 8:17. I hope you're getting something out of this. If you're not, I don't care. I'm loving this. This is changing my life as I'm preaching it. Proverbs 8:17. Come on, let's read this one out together. 1, 2, 3. I love those who love me, and those who seek me may find me. Maybe, might. We'll see how we go. No. You seek him, you're going to find him. Do you know, when I talk about seeking God, please do not misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not talking about you seeking some stained glass window, powerless, weak God that is totally irrelevant to your life. I'm talking about seeking the God of the universe who by his word created galaxies that to this day, they're still expanding across the universe at the speed of light and getting faster. I'm talking about the God who by one breath created this planet. I'm talking about the God who created the body that you now house, that gave you ears, that gave you an eyeball with 1 billion different color, technological term right there. Something that you're very impressed with that I knew the answer, but I don't. But are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm not asking you to seek some dead God. I'm talking about seeking the God of the universe who's powerful. And he can be involved in our life. He has no beginning and he has no end. That's the God I'm talking about. Hey, listen, you know, in our church, we have some really romantic guys. I mean, these guys put me to shame, you know. And I think it may have been Jonathan or I think it may have been. There's been a few people that have done something like this. Actually, I think it was Timothy just recently, one of our worship leaders here. And what he did is he made his wife go on a bit of a journey where she goes to a coffee shop and then she opens up the letter, she reads it, and then it says, now please go to the next place. And then she goes to the next place, she opens up, and he did 7 of those, one for every year that they've been together, and how he felt about her. Imagine she got to the 5th one, she went, I've done this 5 times now. You know what? That's enough for me. I'm going home. No, she could have easily done that, couldn't she? She's like, you know what? I've done it. I've done 5. We got to year five and then Tim's waiting in some park somewhere. 2 days go by, wind, rain, baby, come back. No. She got proposed to because she had a seeking spirit. Okay, so here's the punch. Maybe God's out there somewhere. Oh, did you get tired? Did you? I had something for you. Oh, did you get a little bit tired? Oh, you couldn't read just one more verse. One more verse of that chapter that may have changed your life. That could have set you into a ministry path or could have set you into that business. But I just got a little bit tired. I just like, you know, come on, don't lose your seeking spirit, guys. Let's be seekers. Amen. Come on, you know, everyone in this room is seeking something. What you're seeking, I don't know. But you're all seeking something. Every person, we've all got a seeking ability, but where you're directing your seeking, I don't know where you're putting it. Proverbs 11:27 says it this way. Whoever seeks good finds favor, but evil comes to the one who searches for it. What's that saying? Do you know when the Bible says, if you seek, you shall find? Do you know if you come to this church, do you know if you seek good, and you seek beautiful people, and you seek all the things that the church is doing, you're going to find it. And you're going to go, I love my church. This is the best church ever. Do you know if you come into this place and you start looking for all the cracks, all the flaws, all the things that aren't right, the little thing over there, and do you know what? You're going to also find the bad. The only problem with that is try and find a church anywhere in the world that hasn't got a little bit of crack in the foundation, something's not quite right, someone's got to... You know what? Whatever you seek, you shall find. So can I encourage you? Seek good. Okay, husbands, wives, partners, boyfriends, girlfriends, whatever you seek in your partner, you're going to find. Are you looking for all their faults? You're going to find them. Do you know they've also got a couple of real positive attributes in their life? Why don't you go... Do you know it's the same spirit to seek something out? Seek it out. It's hard work. Do you know when a guy looks in the fridge? You already know. Yeah? You already know where I'm going with this, right? I did it today. Honey, where's the hot sauce for the sausages? It's in the pantry. So, you know, you walk in the pantry and it's like, why does she lie to me? She's got a lying spirit, man. Seriously, like why? Why is she just mean? Straight up mean. So I'm there getting a bit angry, a little bit, you know, why? She's probably throwing it out or whatever, you know. Honey, where's this? It's there, hun. It's right there, right next to the olive oil. So you don't want to go bending the knees too much because you could do a back injury, you know what I mean? So you sort of do that. Honey, I can't see the hot sauce. And so eventually she comes in. Ladies, come on, how does she do it? Right, she comes in, she just goes, but she doesn't even look at you, she does it. You know, she doesn't even look, she does the look away. It's like, I'm disgusted in you, right? I'm so disgusted, I'm not even going to waste my time looking at you. And she just walks in and she goes, right? Don't see God like that. God, I really need to know what your will is for my life, which... I don't know what it is, God. No, come on. You may need to bend your knees a little bit. You know, you may need to actually work harder. You may need to move some stuff out of your way. You may need to move some stuff so that in order for you to seek God. God, I don't know what you want from my life. You know that guy that is absolutely working against my faith in you? Do you know that girl that you're going out with that is not helping your cause to walk with me? Yeah, she may need to move aside so that you can actually seek me. Yeah, I actually said it straight off this platform. Hey, listen, don't let a human being stop your relationship with the Almighty God. Don't do it, friends. It's not worth it. Let me tell you how you know the person you're going out with is the right person for you. Did your relationship with God go up as you met them or did it go down? Did you get distracted? How can that be from God? I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to give Sally a boyfriend. And as soon as she gets with him, she's going to hate my guts. Do you think God sent him? I don't think so. No. God's going to say, I'm going to send Sally that guy because the minute they get together, they're going to both love me more. That's how you know it's the God guy or it's the God girl. That's how, it's very simple. Do you love God more now or less? More. She's the one, mate. Oh, I love God less. Yeah, and I think she's the one. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Is that okay? Oh, Pastor Richard's speaking too much truth now. Let's get back to the funny stuff, hey? The shelf and the tomato sauce. You know, I'm over trying to be the nice guy that then people end up sitting on my couch on Tuesdays because their lives are broken, their hearts are broken. And I think to myself, I should have just set it off the platform and helped everybody. Don't compromise your walk with God, friends. Don't do it. Don't do it for anything. Don't do it for anyone. Seek Him, seek Him, seek Him, seek Him, seek Him, seek Him. But I can't seek Him because I have to work on Sundays. Now, God can make a way. He created Sunday. He created that day we call Sunday. I think He can make a way for you to earn an income. See, we've only got one danger with this. Can I just take 2 more minutes of your time? Is that okay? Because I just think this is really important. Let me tell you why this is so important. Charles Spurgeon says this, if you're not seeking the Lord, the devil is seeking you. Yeah, some of you needed to hear that. And this is what 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says. Pastor Helen recently preached on it. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion. What's he doing? Seeking. So we have to seek because the enemy is seeking. But as long as we keep seeking God, no matter what the enemy does, he can't seek us because we're too busy seeking God. Amen.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabacki and pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.